Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven." It strikes me that this is a night that has something of a contradiction as part of it. As we put ashes on our foreheads, ashes that anyone who looks at us can see, at the same time, Jesus warns us not to practice our piety before others in order to be seen by them. If we do, Jesus warns, our reward is in the being seen, in being seen as pious. What Jesus, I think, is saying in that is that intentions matter. Our motivations are important. If we undertake acts of piety, if we put ashes on our head tonight, only so that others can see, look, there's a holy person, then that's our reward. We have received the entirety of our reward in being seen by others, in being accounted as pious and holy. But if instead we receive our ashes on our forehead as a sign of making a right beginning of a holy Lent, as a sign of deepening our relationship with God, our neighbors, ourselves, and all of creation, then our reward will be much more profound. It will be far deeper. Our reward could even be life transformative, life changing. Ashes are an ancient symbol. We find them throughout Hebrew scripture, and they symbolize mourning for sins, for grief, a mark of repentance. And it's in that spirit that this night we come to receive ashes, and by doing so, we mark the fact that we are mourning our sinfulness. We are confessing and repenting of our sins. Tonight, we stand honestly before God, and we acknowledge that we are not perfect, that we fall short of the glory of God, that we sin. We do things that alienate us from God's love, that alienate us from our neighbors, even from ourselves, that we turn our back on God. We reject God's love. In our sinfulness, our relationships can become damaged and even sometimes fractured. And so this night, we're invited to come before God with penitent hearts, confessing the ways that we have strayed since last Ash Wednesday. We're invited to honestly and humbly examine our lives, to be open with ourselves and before God. And we are invited to confess and repent, and also to accept God's forgiveness that God so lovingly offers us because of God's generous mercy. For, as Scripture tells us, it brings God great joy when one who has sinned confesses and repents. God rejoices when one who is lost is found, when one returns after wandering. God's arms are open wide to receive the penitent sinner, to welcome the one who repents, who returns to the fullness of relationship that God desires to share with all of us. And trusting in God's loving forgiveness, we in that spirit come this night to confess and to repent. And we don't do this to feel or experience any sense of shame or unworthiness. We certainly do not confess our sins to punish ourselves. Rather, we do so solely to turn again to God, to return to the paths of holiness that God calls us to walk in. And the ashes that we will wear this night are a symbol of our penitence, of our desire to return to God, to move into a relationship that is restored, that is deepened with God. When the ashes are imposed, the words are said, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." These ashes are a sign of our mortality. We come before God, the one who is eternal, and remember that we are not, that we are mortal. We are creatures of God, we are made in God's image, but we are not God. And we will not live forever. We all will die. Those words can be startling to us, especially living in our youth-obsessed culture, All around us are so many messages that tell us we need to hold on to our youth. It's not good to age. I'm not sure how you prevent it, but hold on to youth. We live surrounded by a culture that does its utmost to ignore death, to deny death, that tries to push off any thought of death. And yet, following Jesus this night, we are marked with ashes, that very sign of our mortality. We are to remember that we are not God. And we are to recall that through baptism, we are marked as Christ's own forever. We are baptized into his death and also baptized into his resurrection. And through Christ, we are set free from the power of sin and death. We are set free from the temptations and the lies of the world around us. And we are called into a journey as human creatures who are mortal, who will die, but also who trust that we are safe in God for eternity. And so this night we begin our Lenten journey, the period of 40 days that offer us the opportunity to accept this season as a gift, to heed God's invitation to return, to reorient ourselves, to put our relationship with God as the priority of our lives, to place God at the center of our lives. But how do we do this? I think there are clues in tonight's gospel. Jesus mentions three practices which from ancient times have been central to the Christian life, and which the Book of Common Prayer calls us to have as the center of our Lenten journey. The first is giving alms, to care for those who are in need, to care for those who do not have enough, and do that by sharing from what we have. The heart of almsgiving is caring for our neighbor. It's rooted in the reality that everything that we have is a gift from God. God creates everything there is and entrusts it all into our care. From what we have been given, we are then called to give a portion away in thanksgiving to God. Not only does this practice help to transform the injustices of our world, but it changes us as well. In giving away from what we have, we must trust that God will continue to provide for us. Giving alms is the antithesis of hoarding, of keeping a tight hold on what we have been given. It is the antithesis of a fear that there won't be enough. We're also called to pray. Just as Jesus did, we are called to be faithful in daily prayer, and especially in Lent, to set aside time to come before God in prayer. We can do this with our own words. We can do it with composed prayers, such as the many that are found in the Book of Common Prayer. We do so even in silence, when we come before God with no words, listening for God's presence, listening for God to speak to us, or just simply dwelling quietly, simply in God's love. Part of this call to prayer is also the call to read and study God's Word, to read Scripture. Prayer and study of Scripture provides a solid foundation for this Lenten journey, as well as for our lives as followers of Jesus. And then the third that Jesus calls us to in tonight's gospel is fasting. Now, this may be the most challenging for us. Those of us who are middle class have an abundance of food available to us, even food in and out of season. Fasting in this land of plenty is certainly not popular, nor is it easy. And yet, to give up what we want, to resist our desires and our cravings for this season, can show us in stark reality the power our cravings have over us. It highlights how easily we can give in without even thinking to our impulses. Fasting for a time may even transform how we live. Fasting may stir in us a deeper trust, a reliance and awareness of God. All of these practices, whether we do them during Lent or outside of Lent, Jesus reminds us to do privately, not for show. We should not seek the approval and affirmation of others, but instead look for the transformation of our lives, of the deepening of our relationship with God. In these practices, we are storing up treasure in heaven, as Jesus says. We are doing nothing less than allowing God to transform our hearts. We're acknowledging our need for God and our need for conversion, for turning and going in a new direction. In undertaking these disciplines, we are choosing what matters, what will lead us closer to God as a priority for this season. As Jesus tells us, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." A few days ago, I saw a blog post by Benjamin Geyer, who's writing for the Episcopal periodical, The Living Church. And he wrote about Lent, and here's what he said. "If you live comfortably in the developed world, you need Lent more than you know. Of all the seasons in the church's calendar, none preaches more forcefully against bourgeois complacency. Lent spurns contentment, celebrates self-discipline, and sanctifies self-knowledge. We all need Lent more than we know. We who are human need contrasts. We understand light only after we have known darkness. If we cannot, or if we will not, live into this season, how can we truly know what comes after? You need Lent. I need Lent. Let us humble ourselves and come to know better our mortality, our finitude, our waywardness, and our rebellion." And so this night, I invite you to keep a holy Lent, to accept the ashes on your forehead as a symbol of penitence, of repentance, as a symbol of our mortality and need for God, doing so as a statement of trust in God's loving mercy and compassion, in God's desire to forgive us, in God's rejoicing over our return. May we make a good beginning of Lent this night, walking the way of these 40 days, that we might come to know the joys of Easter, which is that foretaste and that promise of eternal life that God desires to share with us. Through our Lenten journey begun this night, may we be drawn deeper into the heart of God, into the very heart of the life of the Trinity. Amen.